The rest of you, grab your Bibles. The book of Exodus will be in chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Let's continue on the talking about heading home. And at this point, now we've talked about how Israel has escaped. And they've been told to get out, and they are running as far as they can, as fast as they can. And in here, it's important because last week we took a pause from this, and God told us, look, when you get to the promised land, remember, right? When you get there, do the Passover. And this is how you're supposed to do it. When you get there, remember. And the important thing is for us to recall that God has said that Israel will get to the promised land. That is so important for us to realize, okay? Because as you start playing out the story, as the events unfold, we have a choice. Either we can believe what God says or not. And this is really, a lot of our life really comes down to, I can believe God or not. Despite our circumstances, despite what's going on right here and right now, going forward, do I trust the Lord? And He's going to do what He wants to do. I think of the Apostle Paul. This is on a sidetrack here. But the Apostle Paul, God told him that he was going to be in Rome. You're going to go before Caesar, right? You're going to go all the way. And along the way, a lot of bad stuff happened. But Paul knew what God said. He goes, oh, I'm going to be in Rome. So even though he was shipwrecked, he wasn't worried. He wasn't afraid because he trusted God was going to do what He said He was going to do. God has told Israel, right? He's told Moses, I'm going to bring you back to this mountain. Right? I'm going to bring you back to Midian. I'm going to bring you back here, and you're going to bring Israel with you. Right? That is sure. So no matter what happens in between, we know how the story ends. And as Christians, what a blessing it truly is. We know how our story ends. I just don't know the middle. Right? And stories have ups and stories have downs. Right? I think I've shared with you before, but don't laugh at me. When I was a little kid, the scariest movie that I thought was Sleeping Beauty. Yeah, I told you not to laugh at me. Right? Now everyone's like, oh, it's a princess story. Oh, it's horrifying. Because if you watch, I've only watched the Disney cartoon, that in here, right, the stepmother turns into this wicked witch and she gives him the apple. Like, who's going to take an apple from that lady? Right? And she was ugly. Oh, a nightmare. I didn't want to eat apples. Mom's like, apple a day keeps the doctor away. And then when the prince goes running to the palace, right, and she brings up the thorns and all that, right? Maybe I got the right story. Right? It's Maleficent, and then she turned into the Drake Dragon. And it's like, ah! I remember as a kid watching that, I was like, no, turn it off, I don't want to watch it. Yeah, big, brave guy, scared of Cinderella, or Snow White, or Sleeping Beauty, that's what it was. It's all the same, they just changed the color of the dress. But I was, it's true, well, you want, yo. And one of them they put fins on, it's still the same story. And my mom says, don't worry. Because they all end with, they lived happily ever after. Right? You can endure the hard parts. You can endure the scary parts. Why? Because you know how the story ends. And now, just so if you're asking, I'm not afraid of it now. I've been watching for a while, but I know how the story, the Bible tells us how the story ends. We know Israel's going to make it to the promised land because God has said it. We just don't know what's going to happen in between. In our lives, I know God will never leave us nor forsake us. I know that because God tells me that. I know all things work together for good of those who love Him. I know that. I know He's gone to prepare a place for me. I know there's a day of no more sorrow, of no more tears, right? I know there's going to be a time when we won't hear cancer anymore. I know these things are coming. I just don't know the in-between. But I know how the story ends. And we can't lose perspective of that. Anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. So Pharaoh has told Israel to get out. The firstborn has been killed. There's been mourning and all throughout Egypt. And get out of here. So they run out of Egypt. And now, in here, one of the greatest events, I think, of Scripture is the crossing of the Red Sea. And I don't know if there's I don't think there's DVDs in heaven. But I'm hoping that there's like a rewind cloud that we could be able to see these events. Because I think this is one of those events I would love to see. And I just want to show you this quick little map here, just to give you a through, because most of the names that we start looking at in the scriptures through here, to be honest, most archaeologists don't know where they are. So if you go to the back of your Bible, if you've got a fancy Bible that has a map in the back of it, it's interesting because your map might be different from someone else's. It all depends on where they put these cities where we really don't know where they are. Does that make sense? So anyway, just real quick, I just want to give you sort of the nerdy stuff first. All right, then I'll get that out of the way and then we'll get to preaching. But some will say, do you see that number one up there? They say that's where Israel crossed. And that became a very popular thought because that's a large marshy area. And because some of the scholars who really don't quite believe the Bible say, well, there's no way Israel could have parted the Red Sea. God could have parted that. So they went and they found this marshy area. They said, oh, well, this must have dried up and God let the Israelites cross this marshy area. The problem with that is we find out later on that the Egyptians drowned. Well, it's hard to drown in the marshy area, right? And so what happened was they said, well, maybe it's down a little bit lower here, number two. The problem with that, the Bible says that when they fled, that they left Egypt. They were outside of Egypt. And this area here is still within Egypt. If they would have crossed from one side to the other side, they were still in Egypt. So I don't believe that's the place where they crossed. The Bible says that they didn't take the normal route, which would bring up across the top here, or the normal route. You see that circle way over? That's Midian. That's where Moses was the shepherd, where he got his wife. So that's where they're going to. The normal route would have been up around. Well, the Bible says they didn't take the normal route. So what did they do? And it kind of really leaves us with choice number three and four. Number three says they came down and they cross over this mountain range. And in here there is a trail that's through. It's very treacherous. And they come out to the other side here, which is about halfway through the little gulf here. And they cross over there. And there's a guy named Rob Wyatt. And if you go on YouTube, he's one of these guys that say, oh, we found chariots, we found all this stuff here. People disagree, he's not an archaeologist, so there's a big controversy whether or not he thinks there's a land bridge there. I've looked at some other maps, doesn't really seem to be, so I am not sure on that. I'm going to tip my head a little bit. I think this is what happened. I think they came up through, and they get down in here, and I think they go around the bottom of the peak here. They come down to this little point where number four is at, and that is the Strait of Tyran. And there's a little cluster of coral reefs. I think that's where they went down. I think actually Israel came down all the way through here because they're going towards Midian. The Bible says that when they crossed over, it took them 3 days to get to Mara, which is over there. So that's what I think, but I can't be 100% sure on that. But I want to just give you sort of the layout of the land. So I wanted to give you a map. And if you go to the back of your Bible, it's funny because everyone's map's a little bit different because we really don't know where these cities are. So I just want to be honest and upfront with you on all that. Big picture, we just know where they're heading to. So in here, they escape. We're in Exodus chapter 14, verse 5. It says, now it was told the king of Egypt that people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Just like with all the plagues, Pharaoh changed his mind. Now, with the last plague, the death of the firstborn, he says, get out of here, and they take off. Now, I'm going to guess that there's some warning. So I'm guessing that there's probably about 3, 4, 5 days have taken place, and all of a sudden Pharaoh's like, what did we do? We gave up our labor force, right? So he changes his mind, and he decides, you know what? Let's go get them. And we see this struggle that Israel starts taking place. Now remember, God has said, you will be in the promised land, right? God is mightier than Pharaoh. And this is where our faith meets up with our circumstances in our lives. Because we know where we're going. We know how it's going to work out. I just don't know the middle part. And that's where we have a hard time living day by day. Right? Israel's been told that they can go, and I imagine they packed up, they're running. I mean, they're beating feet, heading down. I don't know if you can say that. They're just getting out of there as fast as they can. The Bible says that God provided a pillar of cloud during the day and fire at night, that they're traveling day and night to get away. They're not leisurely. They want to get as far away as possible, as fast as they can. And all of a sudden now, they hear word that Pharaoh's after them. How long are they going to be in trouble? I can say the same thing in our lives, right? When we get a hold of God, and God gets a hold of us, and we say, God, I'm going to follow you. God, I want to live for you. I'm going to be faithful to you, right? You know what happens most of the time when I start doing that? Life starts beating me up. You ever feel that way? Maybe in your life there's a past that you're trying to get away from, right? The Israelites are trying to get away from Egypt. They're trying to get rid of that baggage from the past. And they're pressing forward, but it's not letting go. It's interesting how our lives sometimes want to drag us back to our old habits, to our own ways, to our own friends, our own influences. Right? With our hearts and with our minds, say, Lord, I want to follow you, but that pull just doesn't want to let us go. You ever feel that way? So Israel starts running, and in here I want to give you this kind of three things that I want to look at that maybe we can apply to our lives. And the first thing is, when we feel that way, when we feel that tug of the world, when we feel like how this is going to all work out, the first thing I want to encourage you is to be pressing forward. Pressing forward. You know, there's old physics, right? A thing in motion wants to stay in motion. Oh, come on, this is high school, right? And an object at rest wants to stay at rest. When we are in our lives and we're walking with the Lord, the momentum is important because once we stop, it's hard to get going again. And not only that, but when we stop is when we sink. And so we play this all out, not looking back. And then it says holding on to what we believe. We'll explain that in just a moment. Exodus 14 continues on in verse 10. It says, then Pharaoh drew near. The children of Israel lifted their eyes and beheld the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there is no grave in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? It's amazing how fickle people become, right? They wanted to get out. They were slaves. Things was rough in Egypt. And they get out and you know, they're running. They're probably tired. They're day and night, they're heading off. Then lo and behold, Pharaoh comes. They hear word that Pharaoh's coming. And the Israelites are just slaves. They're not an army. Pharaoh comes at them with 600 chariots, with armed soldiers. Scary. And what happens is the Israelites get their eyes off of where they're going and instead start looking back. And actually, so much so, we see this characteristics. I'm giving the story away. But throughout Israel's history, when they're in the wilderness, time and time again, they're like, oh, we had it so good back then. It's like, no, you didn't. But they keep looking back. And so as that happens, as they lose track of where they're going, because remember, God's leading them. He's got the fire and the pillar, right? If they watch where they're going and say, God, I'm going to follow you. Don't worry about the backside. God will take care of that. But instead, they start panicking. And then they start looking back and they're like, Moses, this is all your fault. Why have you done this to us? Wait a minute, God's using you to get out of there. But they're so wrapped up in their fear of the moment of what's going on. They're like, oh, you know what? It was better if we never left. We had it so good back then. Like, what? It's amazing in our lives that sometimes the life we've left behind, sometimes the past, sometimes the sin that God has freed us from can get such a hold on us that we look back at that as the good old days. When they weren't. But when we get our eyes off the Lord, I think of Peter walking on the water. He was doing really good walking on the water until he looked at the waves and then he panicked and he started to sink, right? Egypt was doing, the Israelites were doing well as long as they were pressing forward. And we got to hang on to what we know. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. In verse 19, it goes on to say, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so and were drowned. Faith, we talk a lot about faith. Faith is really just hanging on to what you already know despite the circumstances. The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But you ever felt alone? I have. God says, if my people will cry out to me, He will hear them. I'll tell you, I've been in circumstances where I've cried on my knees and I felt like the words were just bouncing off the ceiling. Have you ever done that? God, where are you? But faith, I hang on to what I know. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says, I am loved. What shall separate me from the love of Christ? Nothing. And so what faith does is hang on to what I know, despite the circumstances, how I feel, or what's going on around me, no matter how chaotic it is. That's faith. If Israel hung on to the fact that we're going to make it, instead of looking back, they would have been better off. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on what? Your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Trust. Oh, it's so hard to hang on to God despite how I feel, right? Lean on your own understanding. This is what I'm thinking. Well, guess what? I'm warped. My thinking isn't right. When I'm in circumstances, when I'm in desperation, when I'm in temptation, I am not thinking straight. It is not reliable. But God's Word never changes. God will never fail. Hang on to what you know, despite your circumstances around you. And you'll do all right. Hang on to it. Second thing I want to look at is stand firm. Right? Press on. Keep your eyes on the Lord. But there's a time to stand. Exodus 13 and 14 says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Stand still. Now, I'm visual, right? Some people learn best by hearing. Some people learn best by doing. I'm very... So, as I'm reading this, I just picture, you know, Moses is leading. There's probably about 2 million people. He's leading them down through the clouds in front of them. They're following that, and they're heading out. Oh, no! Pharaoh's coming. And I just picture the people just, just kind of all panicking. What are we going to do? What are we going to do, Moses? You should have left us there. You're going to get us killed. Oh, no! Right? I just picture this whole... But don't laugh, because guess what? Have you been that way in your life? Maybe you're not doing it quite that, but in the inside, you're just like, what's going to happen? What am I going to do? Oh, no, no. What if? Right? And we can work ourselves right into a frenzy. sit on here? And we see this panicking going on, and God says, be still. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Because folks, when we run around like chickens with our heads cut off, right, we lose the battle. And Satan has this right where he has it. I see the children of Israel just panicking. Oh no! And they're getting their eyes off God. They don't know what's going to happen. All they hear is Pharaoh's coming. The panic sets in and God says, just be still. In the nose, out the mouth. Smell the roses. Blow out the cake. Be still and know I am God. Verse 15 and 16, it says, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, right? Not back. Don't worry about what's behind you. Go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And the angel of the Lord, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other. So the one did not come near the other all that night. God says, press forward. Go where I tell you to go. Yeah, but God, there's water. Doesn't matter. Go. But that doesn't make sense. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not what on your own understanding. In all your way, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. God will show you a way. Listen to Him. Follow Him. And Moses, go out front and take your rod and hold it up. And I'm going to split the water. What? Just do what I ask you to do. The old song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And I love this because at this point you got this cloud that's in front of them. It's getting dark out and it turns into fire and the presence of God's there. And it moves from the front of the camp because they're following it. And it turns around and it goes behind them. And God puts His hand down, if you will, between them and the Egyptians. He turns the backside of it into a cloud that's darkness, that the Egyptians can't see anything. And God gives light to the righteous. Folks, in the midst of this world, if we see the darkness that's going on, as we see the confusion that's going on, what's pressing around all around us, folks, the world may be in darkness, but praise God that we can have the light. We can seek His Word. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God will show us a way if we trust in Him, if we press on in our desire to please Him, our desire to know Him, if I will stand still and not panic in the circumstances around us. 1 Peter starts off with this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Satan wants us to panic. You know, if you picture a herd, and the roaring lion roars and they all run. Well, the reason why he wants you running is because the slow, the weak, and the old get left behind. It separates the herd out. Then he picks them off one by one. He says, hey, you know what? Satan's the same way. Satan will make a whole lot of noise. He'll bring a lot of disturbances in your life to get you to panic, to get you to run. And as soon as you're running, you're an easy target. If we step off the path God has laid for us, we're easy pickings for the devil. If I step off what I know I should be doing, if I get my ass off of Him, that's where fear comes in. That's where the panic comes in. We feel lost. We get frantic. And the devil has us right where he wants us. Instead of being calm, be still. Trust in the Lord. And in this, we're not left alone. In the book of Ephesians, he tells about the armor of God. And we've gone through this before. But it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Right? The devil's tricky. He knows you. He knows just the buttons to push in your life. He knows what he's done before in your life that caused you to stumble before. He knows your weak spots. He knows your temptations. Right? And the only cure for that is to put on the armor of God to stand in His power and His might. Lord, I can't do this on my own. It's You. Help me to stand against the wiles of the devil. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand even in the evil day, having done all to what? Stand. To what? To stand. And when Satan pops up and the emergency comes in and the scary things happen in your life and the temptation comes in your life and Satan's just like, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't really do that, but right? And you do that and your instinct is, I'm out of here. Say, no, Satan, I'm not moving. I'm staying right next to my Lord. I ain't moving. You got no power on me. Stand. Not in my own strength, but in the armor of God. Through the salvation, a helmet of salvation. To know I'm saved, beyond a doubt. The breastplate of righteousness. That is not my righteousness. Right? Satan, you can accuse me all day long. But it's the righteousness of Christ that now dwells in me. Right? The belt of truth. Satan, you can say your lies. But I believe God's Word. And I'm going to do it. Feet shod with peace. The peace of God I can stand on. And it goes on. All these things. As Christians, we have. We don't have to run. We don't have to be afraid. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. I feel like I'm preaching. The last thing I want to point out as we look at this situation at the Red Sea. It says the Lord will win the battle. Not you. Right? Beware of your own schemes. Oftentimes, I'm a man with a plan. Right? I figure out my own ways and how I'm going to get it right. I play my angles and if it doesn't work, I'll try to have a plan B. And right, I try to have all these things. And you know what? Most of the time, my plans fail miserably. And sometimes they're the same plan. You know, I fall back. I'm not very creative, but sometimes I fall back on the same plan. Well, Satan has figured that out a long time ago. Right? But as we yield to God and have Him win the battle for us. In that case here, remember, God came up in the cloud behind them to block them off. Moses went to stretch out his hand to the sea. It says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And made the sea into dry land. And the waters were divided, so the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground. And the waters were the wall, were walls of them on their right and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea. All Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth. While the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. What a spectacular scene that must have been. So they come up through the sea. They see so impossible to go forward. But God made a way. Nothing is impossible for our God. You know, in your life, maybe you're at a point where you don't know how to press forward. You don't know how it's going to happen. It seems impossible for a new way to come about. Let me tell you that God has not lost His power. The same God who parted the Red Sea is greater than your issues in your life. And He will make a way if you follow Him. Don't run away. And stand firm upon Him. And the wind blew. And the sea parted. And I love this because, you know, the wind blew, and I imagine the Lord just backfilled all the sand in, made a nice path for them. And Israel crossed over on dry land. And imagine walking through that. Walls of water on either side. I can't remember what it is. I don't know if DreamWorks, but there's a cartoon that talks about it, has this. And in here, there's a whale that comes up through and his fin kind of sticks out. That'd be awesome, right? You know, imagine walking by and the fish. Get out of here. Think about that, right? Like I said, I hope there's like some rewind system in heaven that I'd love to see this. And Israel made it across. Just as God said. And the Egyptians were like, whoa. Well, they did it. We can do it too. So they head out following. Well, they got about halfway and God said, okay. You guys are done. And He stopped the wind. The whole thing came back down on them. It was God's victory. God worked it all out. All Israel had to do was trust and obey. The impossible becomes possible with God. That in here, it was the world's demise. That in here, and it's interesting because then the bodies wash ashore. And it's funny how this works, once again, I'm visual. So the oceans opened up this way. Israel crossed over. And then it closed this way. So when it washed everything all up, it pushed it all back to the shore. And it's interesting because Israel goes fight battles. And what they're able to do is all the weapons of the Egyptians washed upon the shore. And Israel is able to go down to get swords and everything else for battles. See, God used all of this. What they meant for bad, God used for good. God knew what He was doing. Right? It wasn't like they got there and they were panicking and said, oh no. And God's like, oh no, I didn't think about this. What am I going to do? God had it all worked out ahead of time. In your life, God has these things all worked out. God has it all planned if you trust in Him. Jeremiah puts it this way, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Right? I fear, I look at this world, I look at all the chaos that's going on, the things that seem so crazy, and I find so many Christians who put their trust in what takes place in Washington, thinking if we just get the right leaders in there, everything will turn around. Now don't get me wrong, we have a responsibility to vote for those who are in there, we need to pray for those in authority over us. But my salvation is not going to come from Washington. It comes from the Lord. Right? And in here, my trust isn't what happens in Augusta. Now, in our country, we have a voice, and I believe as a Christian, my vote, my voice belongs to God, and I need to vote as God would want me to vote. I think we need to be involved in the process. Right? We're to be salt and light. We need to have an input. But I'm not trusting in that because I've gone through that. You know, where my guy won or my lady won. I was like, yay! And then my side lost. I was like, oh no, this is the end. You know, if I keep my eyes on the Lord, it's slow and steady. Lastly, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. The battle that we're in, folks. Now, you say, well, Israel is going down, and the enemy is pretty obvious. It was the Egyptians. It was not. The battle really comes down to, is Israel going to be obey God or not? The circumstances that we're in, we need to realize, look, my battle is not with my wife. It may seem like that, or the other way around, depends on the day. Or with my boss, or with my neighbor, or with my government, my arguments and all this. There's a spiritual warfare that's going on behind the scenes. The book of Job gives us a picture of that. In the midst of all this, the true battle is whether or not we will stand. If we will do what is right in the midst of the conflict, if we will follow Him despite the circumstances of our life, what will we do if we will stand or if we will fold? That's the real battle. And that really puts things in perspective. So, you know, when I'm fighting with my neighbor, realize, okay, you know what? Is this going to make me falter in my Christian life, or am I going to do the right thing no matter what? Oh, I realize. This is testing my faith. Am I going to do what's right? Am I going to stand and keep my eyes on the Lord? Or am I going to go into the gutter and I'll show Him? Right? The conflicts and battles that we have spiritual components behind them. And because of that, there's spiritual solutions to them. And praise God, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. So going forward, in the circumstance that we're in this conflict, sort of between the rock and the hard place. First one is, press forward. Don't look back. Press on to what God has in store for you. Keep your eyes on what He has laid out for you. Don't look at the past. To stand firm. I shall not be moved from my faith, from my love from the Lord, of doing what is right. I'm not going to run away. And lastly, the Lord will win the battle. Not me. The Lord will win it if I trust in Him. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the assurance we have in all of this. Lord, I am so weak and I am so frail and I've failed so many times in the flesh. But Lord, I thank You that Jesus never fails. Lord, that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, help us to follow You, Lord. Keep our eyes on You, Lord. Help us trust in You, Lord. And You will give us victory. You will show us a way of escape. Lord, You will give us grace that is greater than our sins. We thank You and praise You for who You are, Lord. We ask this in Your name. Amen.